Oh, hello, y'all. Welcome to This Week in Horror.
So what is that? What is that voice?
I am in Georgia, so I'm talking like Paula Deen.
That's your Paula Deen?
This is my Paula Deen, y'all. And then scatter in some racial epithets. Well, and then I'm good. I'm perfect.
Jeff, that's an awful Paula Deen.
It's a great Paula Deen. I feel like I'm sliding into Forrest Gump a little bit with that at the same time.
Yeah, I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure that you ever left Forrest Gump so much. Anyway, Jeff,
I was running.
For those of you who aren't sure what's happening,
Jenny.
This is This Week in Mormons. I'm here with Jeff. My name's Al. We're happy to be your hosts.
And we walk you through Mormon news and issues. We're the best in the business. We're glad you're here with us.
Yeah, we're really good at what we do. Contrary to YouTube comments that say we're awful.
Dude, what was up with that last week?
That was great. Just out of the blue. You guys aren't funny. You're terrible. Which, you know, in all candor, if we weren't Mormon... And I listen to us, I probably would not be entertained at all.
Well, no, it's an esoteric point of view. I think we're not exactly broad with some of that stuff. For a little background, well over 2 years ago, when they were doing a season of The Mormon Bachelorette, we sort of did Mystery Science Theater 3000 type riff tracks, whatever, over these videos of the dates, and we also brought in Jenna Kim Jones, a Mormon comedian. And we did them, and we played them, and then for some reason last week, a bunch of people showed up on just one of these videos and made a bunch of negative comments about how terrible
I was entertained. Man, those were good times, though, back in the day, making fun of Mormon Bachelorette.
Do you remember? We recorded those sitting on a floor in Myrtle Beach. I remember it well.
Yeah, well, we did a lot of that. Like, our only problem with that is neither of us have enough time to do extra stuff like that too much. And so we'll take on a little project, we do it for a while, we get exhausted, we go home.
Well, I think we're getting better about projects. Like, for example, the gospel study thing that we're starting up on. By the way, we'll send you a link to that. If you missed it last week, we're instigating a great... We're instituting a great gospel study review thing, is the best way I can put it. Al has written up some posts to explain it, but you can go to thisweekinmormons.com, join our mailing list, and we're going to kind of all become better disciples together. That's sort of what we're doing.
Yeah, we're pretty excited about it.
I think that's
sort of reminders in place so that I don't study, I don't get it done because maybe leaves my mind or my plate, so to speak. And so having sort of the daily reminder, I'm hoping, is helpful to many.
Yeah. You know. I think we're okay at that stuff. I think stuff like doing videos was harder because it's way more time consuming. We have to sit down and do the audio while we record. Then we have to go to post-production and layer it all together. It just takes way more effort compared to doing stuff that we can just do on the interwebs while plugging away.
It's so hard.
Life is hard. More importantly, before we get to me, I want to know about you, how you're doing, the life.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, let's see, I'm back in Missouri this week. It's muggy. Jeff, it is muggy here. If I were a pioneer in the olden days, at this point, I would just say, to heck with the bonnet fad, I'm going straight hair. It's that hot.
I think I'd be more frustrated with the collared and long-sleeved garments of the period. That would be even more frustrating.
Yeah, could they roll up their garment sleeves and go to work? Was that a thing?
I don't know. I mean, just as today, we dissuade the women from rolling up their capped sleeves. would it not be the same principle?
Was it as big of a deal back then, you think, when they saw somebody rolling that and they were like, mm-mm, she doesn't love Jesus because she's working in her garden with her arms showing.
No, probably not, because the Pharisaical approach to discipleship really took root once we got in the Salt Lake Valley and went from there, I think.
That's when judging your neighbor really took off.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, your neighbor wasn't going to be killed the next day. You could actually all hang out
together. That's fair. Yeah, that's a good point.
Unless you had a water dispute, in which case all bets were off.
Oh, my gosh. I've heard stories. But, yeah, so things are going really well. We're back here just... doing things with the family, got some friends in town, so it's an exciting time. I went to a wedding, though, of a friend over the weekend, which is very exciting because flying back to Salt Lake on Friday, I had that moment on the airplane. I don't know if you've ever had this, Jeff, where, like, the one movie that I hadn't seen in a while that, like, was worth watching on my laptop was My Best Friend's Wedding. And so I'm sitting there.
Hold on, let me finish.
And the guy next to me is watching something on his iPad. And like, I had that moment where I opened it up and I was like, this dude's going to see me just straight up watching a Julia Roberts chick flick. Am I okay with this? And I was like, no, the laptop was hovering half closed. And then I was just like, you know what? I'm doing it. Opened it up, full screen that sucker, and just watched me some cheesy, awful chick flick.
Good for you.
Well, so the day after, though, I go to my buddy's wedding, and I feel like I stepped back into that movie. It was the most perfect wedding I'd ever been to in my life. Yours accepted, Jeff, obviously. But I mean, there was an ice cream sandwich station and the perfect little panini press chef going on, like the line circling through, and the weather was a balmy 74, and the sun setting slowly on the mountains, and the band playing like it was incredible, to the point where I sat my ice cream sandwich down, turned around in my chair, and just needed to bask in it for a minute, which I think is where they got the name Baskin Robbins. It was probably a similar moment for that young man. And I was
exactly,
and I was basking in this moment of love, and then we danced the night away. It was great.
Well, that's
so
wonderful.
Speaking of all the weddings this weekend, good job, way to pick them.
Well, and that's what I'm. We're flying out to Utah tomorrow, and I will be attending a wedding of one of my wife's old roommates, and so I'm very excited. Al, ask me a question. Al, ask me what I packed for the wedding.
What'd you pack for the wedding?
Well, see, because I know that I'm going to a wedding, what I did. Is even though I came to Atlanta first, a different place, en route, I packed my dress clothes.
Oh, Jeff, ask me what I packed for a wedding.
Well, see,
you got one up than most weddings I go to. I was not in jeans for your wedding, and you're welcome.
Thank you for that.
Though I was in my running shoes. My running shoes in the temple at your wedding. No one judged me. I'm sure of it. I just grabbed.
You know,
I didn't
just
know.
Not that we. You know,
I thought I had my other suit pants in Missouri. So when I flew to Missouri, I was disappointed at my selection of church clothes. And then I flew to my best friend's wedding, and kind of showed up in my crummy tracking pants from the mission that I hadn't worn in 10 years, and some running shoes. But that's neither here nor there, Jeff, because those running shoes let me dance like I'd never danced before.
No one was watching. Even though everyone
was Atlanta,
watching.
Jeff?
Atlanta kind of sucks.
Was not prepared for that.
That's not to say I haven't had a good time here. But Atlanta let's just say it this way. I visit places. No city's perfect. And oftentimes I say to myself, yeah, I could live here if there was a reason for me to live here. I'm very on the record saying I have no desire to live in Atlanta, ever. There's no reason to live in this place. I don't know why it's the 12th largest metropolitan area in America. Why?
Who really? You can't see it? You can't see why anybody would be there?
Look, here's my disclaimer, though. I'm right in downtown. I came down with my wife at a convention. I'm just hanging out and telecommuting before we go to Utah. And so we have no car, so I'm really just walking places. And so that has limited my exposure. I'm sure there are wonderful parts of Metro Atlanta that could make my heart sing. But for the most part,
where?
It's just kind of, eh. I don't know where these places are. All I know is I just walked places, and it's not like the nicest city, but it's fine, I guess. But it doesn't do much for me.
Well.
But building on that, though, I did get to visit the Atlanta State Capitol, so check another one off the list. That was delightful. I went to Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthplace and memorial, which needs a little bit of TLC. It doesn't seem like it's been touched much since the 80s, unfortunately.
Oh, no?
But it was... But to say that, though, really good thing to remember, and you can imagine how important that is to the African American community. And I was like one of the only white people there. You know, it's a big deal, and I love that. I love seeing them have something to celebrate and fall back on. So it was fun to visit that. I've had a little more free time in my afternoons while the wife's been conventioning. So
attaboy.
I also ate more fried food than I ever should in my life, and. And also, I went to an aquarium.
I feel like everything you've said is what everybody who visits Atlanta says.
Yeah, it's terrible. But we got to go to this great opening night party where Wolfgang Puck catered inside the Georgia Aquarium, which is the largest aquarium in the world. So I saw wonderful marine life, and I'm a big marine life fan. In a different life, I would be a marine biologist. And coupled with that, Shark Week.
I think so little.
Great things
are
happening.
I think so little of you after listening to this.
And then the world of Coca-Cola is next door, and the world of Coca-Cola is ridiculous and stupid. It's just an overly done museum of Coca-Cola patting itself on the back, and you watch this crack addict movie that's just one of the worst things I've ever seen. But to top it all off, the Go-Go's played a concert in the park that night.
Yay.
So we rocked out to the Go-Go's. And then tonight, I just watched a supergroup that's called World Classic Rockers. And it's comprised
I'm done listening to you.
Listen to me. Former members of, ready for this, Steppenwolf, Lynyrd Skynyrd, Journey, Toto, Santana, all together in one band, just playing all the hits. It was a great night, Al. You would have had a delightful time. Especially because you get to watch baby boomers try to cling to their youth.
Jeff, we're done. We're done with this. All right, anyway.
There was dancing and...
Jeff, if I may, your sharing this week on the Facebook has been tremendous. There's been a lot of good conversation going on in there. You've incited some young folk. You've blessed their lives.
I seek not to incite. I merely seek to understand.
That's not true. No, sometimes we do seek to incite.
Well, it's easy to put things that are potentially, you know.
For instance.
Yeah.
Did you know Elder D. Todd Christofferson lost likes? Can you give us an update on Facebooking the Brethren, Jeff?
Well, sure. We've been keeping track every day. If you missed this about 2 weeks ago, I guess we started this. I wish we would have started it right when they set off with their new Facebook pages so we could perfectly track the growth. We've been tracking the Facebook following every day of the members of the First Presidency and the 12. As far as an update, it's leveled off quite a bit after the initial surge. You're seeing much slower percentage growth rates every day at this point. It's really just settling in.
I love that we did this.
But there were a few surprises. Like up front, you saw that Elder Holland got a huge following, and that's leveled off. Over the course we've been doing this, Elder Holland has actually had the slowest overall growth rate. So he was very front-loaded, and that's how President Eyring eventually passed him. But D. Todd Christofferson was the first one in all this time to actually lose likes from one day to another. No one loses likes. They might only gain 30 or 40, but no one loses them. So I don't know what's happening there.
Oh, man.
Other than that, keep your eye on Richard G. Scott, but Dallin H. Jokes refuses to yield. So we'll see what happens.
He refuses to yield to Richard?
Yeah, he will not yield to Richard. Richard's kind of nibbling at his heels, but then Dallin gets a little mini surge.
I wish we had enough like random Facebook friends that we could just like with the twin bump put Uchtdorf over Monson. Like, and that be it. Just done.
Sorry. I just saw your G chat.
Yeah. Like if we could control the outcome of these, how great would that be? That would be awesome.
Listen, this is all I'm asking, folks. If you have not gone to like a Facebook page, don't like anybody's page except for Robert D. Hales. He's been in the cellar the entire time. I don't know if it's because
I'm going to Hales right now.
Hales. Because obviously if you do everybody it doesn't help out. But we need Hales to pass Quentin L. Cook because I feel like it's official this week in Mormon's policy that we want Quentin L. Cook to be dead last. I don't know why. But ever since Quentin's quandaries, we just sit there and just laugh about
Overcooked. We need to make it so that we can like each of these pages from our... I'll work on that. I'll make a liking page for all of this.
Okay, but folks, if you haven't liked Elder Hales, do it so he can build a following and pass Elder Cook. That's what we need to see happen. Come on. This needs to happen. This is serious work. This is the work of the kingdom, everybody. Come on.
I'm ready.
Goodness.
Well, that's exciting. That's very exciting.
Speaking of work of the kingdom, biggest news, I think, that happened last week. New temple film has started showing up in select temples near you.
Yeah.
So right now it's in a limited
this
run.
There's been drama on our Facebook page. You shared a couple of things on this. There's a lot going on with it.
Yeah, so first for some background, it's in a limited run right now. So depending on how the returns go on those limited screenings, they might do a nationwide rollout if it's enough of an indie hit. Is what we're
really
for.
Hoping that but some private well, labels will pick it up.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to try to sell it at Sundance. That's what we're really aiming for here. But, well, I guess the Facebook thing was just because Jana Reese pointed out, and I think this is even going beyond the mark, but the new film, which I haven't seen yet, contains all white actors. And, of course, it's been 24 years since the last film. And you could argue, you think in that time, maybe the church would diversify the cast a little bit, or not. And I merely put up there, why is this? Is this a missed opportunity? Is this because that's just who got the job? Whoever auditioned, we're just the best actors? Who knows? But I don't know. It could be a missed opportunity. But do look at it this way. If they were to, say, have a mostly white cast, which is still pretty reasonable to assume, and what if James is just some Asian guy? Couldn't you see some group saying, like, well, what's up with this? What's up with the one Asian guy? What are they trying to say with that?
Whatever race Satan gets cast as is just going to be an outrage, right? Like, if Satan were a black guy, hands down, like, we would have just been the biggest goofs of all time. You can't mess with it now. You've gone too far. It's like you got in the elevator and didn't say hi to the girl at first. Now you're up three floors. You can't say anything. You just keep your eyes forward and keep riding that elevator to the top. That's what you're doing now.
Exactly. I really think that's the one benefit. If you have everybody be effectively the same race, more or less, it makes it so that in one sense it can make it not an issue. Because you're saying this isn't about what the people look like. It's just the uniformity so you don't pay attention to
Jeff,
who they
you
are
and Hitler agree.
Like,
you both
thank you very
you
much.
Both have the same vision. You Nazi coward.
Here's one thing I think would have been fair though. In this day and age, why not make a totally separate film in Spanish? We have more than enough members that speak Spanish. Just have a completely separate temple film filmed with Spanish-speaking actors.
Yeah, that would have been cool, actually.
I think that's a fair thing with how, I mean, Portuguese is also pretty big, but we have tons of people speaking Spanish in the church. Why not just film them a new one? Quit dubbing for those people. Let them have something new.
Well, I wonder how much do you need, right? I mean, Ukraine, we've got enough Ukrainians to make a Ukrainian version of this, and Russians, plenty of Russians, right? Like,
but actual actors to do everything, and obviously that would defeat the
Jeff,
purpose.
Jeff, have you seen the acting that takes place in these movies? This is not Oscar-winning stuff. This is
I have it on good authority that the newer film was penned by Oscar-winning screenwriter
Scorsese.
No.
He's done it. He's finally brought his action to the temple.
But, I don't. But really, I think the most important thing to remember, people, with the temple, it doesn't matter what Adam and Eve or anybody looks like. Because think about how it was originally conceived. It's supposed to be live workers in a temple presenting the endowment, playing their parts. The only reason we have the movie is because President David O. McKay saw an opportunity because of the diversity of the international body of saints. The movie was an easier way to present the endowment because it could be dubbed, and that's what made the most sense, especially when they built the temple in Switzerland, which served so many different European-speaking nations, and where they couldn't count on staffing the temple with enough people from, you know, each country to speak those languages in a live session. That's the reason we have it today. So that's also why it would be stupid to make a separate movie shot with everyone speaking different languages, because if that's the case, why not just have those people working in the temples presenting live endowments instead? You know, it's the same logic, so.
Well, sure, except when you're doing a movie, you only need the actors in there one time. If you're actually performing the live stuff, then you got to have people in there, like, for 15 sessions a day.
This is true, but do you imagine...
This is why this is a sustainable thing, Jeff. This is
imagine the resources that would go into having actors.
Also, nothing would make me happier than seeing a bunch of Tongan people do. I would just love to see walk into a Tongan temple and see Tongans, and go to the Hong Kong temple and see Hong Kongs
people. Yes.
Don't insult my people.
Sorry. Anyway, but I think it is cool. And my understanding with the new movie...
We're dealing with some serious lag.
Are we now? This is hotel Wi-Fi for you, my friend.
This is so hotel true. Wi-Fi.
Another thing.
That's all right. If it gets really bad, we can go to the cell phone.
Good deal. So anyway, it's longer now, and allegedly this has been to accommodate African saints. Not that the English language version of it is not easy to understand. It's because translating the film into a lot of these African tongues. Apparently, the translations are very, very long.
And now, this has not been confirmed, but from what I understand, there's no new content in it, right?
No, yeah, there's no new content. It's the same script, but it's longer because they spaced it out more so they could fit these translations into some of these African languages into it as they overlay the dubbing.
Yeah, maybe. Well, cool. So I'm excited to have a new movie anyway.
So that's what's happening there.
I wasn't a huge fan of the only Eve that we had left anyway, so this is nice.
I know. The Eves were dropping like flies. That's just, what can you do? Also, and I was wondering what was up. I was actually in the temple last week, and it showed the same old film, but they'd cropped the aspect ratio of it, and which made me wonder if they were projecting it from new projectors, perhaps, i.e. high-def projectors. Ooh. That would project a new film. And then it was actually that night that we saw it coming in. So it's going to do what it did.
That could be very fancy. Well, I like it. I like it. I like what they're doing with the place.
So, yeah.
Good ideas. Some interesting drama, though. I love that Jana Reese can just find something to complain about with that. I'm just excited to have it.
I know. What I'd like to see now is if we see a surge in temple attendance, people who are curious and want to see the new film.
So we've got a couple of other little moments of Mormondom here. First, a great video is making the rounds on YouTube, a basketball throwdown with two elders that are balling it up. It looks like they're in some inner city stuff, and it's great, man. These guys have they're just in their suit and tie playing, and I love the idea of missionary work happening where the focus is so much more on just like being part of the community, building that trust, and then sharing what you know with friends rather than being a formal standoffish stranger. I love that idea. I love that whole, train of thought that says that this is okay, because I really believe that it is. And if you get a chance, go watch it. It's actually really, really fun and just cool to see. I mean, some white guys dunking over some dudes and great responses from them. It's seriously one of my favorites. So check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Al, I think we're on Skype now.
We're switching all over the place, man.
Well, you're having disastrous connections. This, let me tell you, folks, the Courtyard Marriott in Atlanta, not the realm of wonderful Wi-Fi.
No hotel is, though, so that's all right.
That said, I've been able to pull off streaming some Breaking Bad. So, it's worked out okay.
Oh, well done.
So, I love the basketball throwdown. I think it's pretty interesting. It's hilarious. We have an update. The Mali election was finalized after the count of the ballots, and Al, venture me a guess. How many votes did you think Yay Samake got? What percentage of the vote?
Oh gosh, no, he got some serious coverage. I'd say, I don't know. Hopefully, right around a third.
A third. So 33% of the vote, maybe. Right.
Yeah. That seems pretty fair because there's two other front runners, right, besides him and.
Yeah. Well.
Maybe about a third. Maybe a little less.
Yeah. Well, he didn't win, so it was going to be less than that. So you might say, oh, well, maybe he got like 10%. Maybe he got 7% and didn't pull off. The actual number, though, is 0.58%.
He Ross Perot'd this thing, didn't he?
Ross Perot did. You know who did better than him? George Michael Bluth. Did better than Yas Samake did. Yas Samake didn't even beat Bart Simpson and This School Sucks.
That's... So why... Like, why was this even a big deal? Why did we...
It was a big deal because it was a big deal for Mormons. Not because anybody else cared, because nobody else did.
Did nobody in Mali even knows him, do they?
I guess not, but the interesting thing about the Yas Samake campaign is it presents a very different approach to African politics, as in effectively U.S.-style westernized politics, trying to bring that in. And so that aspect of it is interesting, having a lot of... I mean, it's
kind of... They had a 51% turnout, man. That's crazy.
That's better than we do.
Way better than we do.
Yeah. And good for them. But anyway, Yasumake, who knows what he'll go on and do now, but there it is, folks. The guy didn't even get 1% of the vote, which is kind of sad. I honestly thought he'd be a little bit more of a force than that, but...
Well, that is all right.
Poop happens.
There's a great... I love this article. It's in the Deseret News. I'm not sure if this guy's Mormon or not, but just humor me, because it's a great story. It's a deputy finds his father-in-law, the fire chief, in bed with his wife, and pistol whips his dad, and then goes to jail.
Where is this from? Is this on our list?
No, this is one that I'll share with you. But like, it's a great...
Continue.
This is a great story, though. So he, like... So your son's the deputy sheriff. You're cheating on his wife. Like, that whole triangle is just hilarious to me.
Yeah, I love infidelity. I think it's definitely something we should laugh at.
Jeff, if you're the deputy sheriff and your dad's the fire chief... And then your wife is the one that's sneaking around between the two of you? Like, we got to get more creative than this.
The woman likes power.
People. Yeah, she loves it. Well, anyway.
Well, thank you for that uplifting story, Al. That was
they're from Utah. That's why I'm assuming they're Mormon and this is worthwhile. Jeff, that's how I'm feeding this in.
She's not even that good looking. Where does this take place? Oh, but the writer of the piece is Jeff with a G. Therefore, it is the greatest journalism to go through our world in the past day.
In the past one day. All right, anyway.
That's Moab.
Neither here nor there.
Well, that's why. Also, by the way, did you know that the church is celebrating 175 years since the missionaries arrived in Great Britain to teach the word?
I did not
know
this.
Since Heber C. Kimball rolled in there and did his thing.
What do we do when it turns out?
It's a big deal. They're actually doing celebrations that are very similar to the cultural celebrations we do when we dedicate new temples. So they've had a whole big production going on, just all sorts of stuff happening. It's even made it in the BBC. And, of course, they're doing a British Mormon pageant. It's up in Shoreley, which is where the temple is outside of Preston. For those who don't know, even though London is London, the largest concentration of saints in the British Isles is actually up in the Midlands around Preston, Leeds, sort of Manchester. That neck of the woods is where the strongest Mormon contingency is, not London. That's just where the greatest success happened initially when the brethren went up there. So I think good for them. There are nearly 200,000 members of the church in the UK alone. Easily the most in Europe, I mean, by a landslide. So,
hey, so wanted to bring something up real quick. Not sure really what we have to say about it. There's an article shared out this week through a couple of my networks where they found the genetic Adam and Eve from back in the day. They were from supposedly different continents. The original or the oldest female and the oldest male, and there
men are from Mars, women are from Venus.
135,000 years ago is what they predict.
This is science lying to us about grand design. We know that the Earth is only 6,000 years old.
Well, that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. Just because how do you interpret or I guess reconcile those two, Jeff? Being like the age of the Earth and science.
Oh,
where do you go with this?
As far as a biblical account of the age of the Earth, I think most of that stuff is all just symbolic in the way it references days and years and a lot of that stuff early on. And I don't have any problem with that at all. I feel that creationism, when viewed appropriately, should be supported by science. And that's exactly how I feel things are. So... however old the Earth is, and if you want to get into the dinosaur argument, whatever it may be, like, for all I know, for example, with dinosaurs, we talk about these days when first there were, you know, we have the days when foliage and stuff was on the Earth, animals were on the Earth, and then man.
Yeah.
But for all we know, that period of animals to man was actually this colossally long stretch of time when dinosaurs ruled the earth, crazy things happened, blah, blah, blah. Other animals rose up, and then man eventually showed up. And I'm fine with that. I don't believe in the, I don't subscribe personally, at least, this is by no means doctrine, to the whole God, because Earth had to be made of existing matter, because that's true, because we know the Earth was organized. It was not just actually created. It was matter unorganized that was organized. And in that sense, there are many who argue that dinosaurs are merely part of the unorganized matter from elsewhere that was then, you know, plopped together as an Earth. I'm not really big on that idea.
If I ever get to ask God a question, if he has like a sort of a Bednar style Q&A when we get to heaven, that's the one question I want. What's the deal with the dinosaurs? What was that all about? Can you explain that to me, God?
Well, more importantly, you'd ask him, why did he allow Jurassic Park 3 to be made?
Well, yeah. Well, so kind of going along with that, I mean, that's sort of how I view an article like this, right? I mean, we read in the Bible about people living like 1,000 years, right?
Yeah.
I mean, like just these crazy long times. Yeah. And I don't know. I mean, I don't even know, like exactly how literal that's meant to be taken. But like, I wouldn't be surprised if the way that we judge time from back in the day and how they wrote down their, you know, their history, didn't differ a little bit in how we view it. I mean, maybe our doctrine, I would not be surprised if our doctrine fit exactly, with much of what we have from science, in the end. I mean, science will continue to evolve as more and more truth is found and it's understood. And the same goes for, you know, how we understand our own religion. And as those two continue to draw closer together, which I actually feel like they are drawing closer together, but we'll have a, like those will be cohesive and they'll fit and they work. I wanted to bring this up mainly, you know, there's another guy on our Facebook this week that asked why we were posting these, how did he say it, Jeff? It was like detracting articles about the church or disparaging articles. You remember that guy?
Yeah, I do.
Who was he? Jared Rumler or something? Rummer? He just had a question. He was like, why? Like, what's the purpose of This Week in Mormons, right?
To make money.
And not let the money make you. But the purpose is just to discuss this stuff in a friendly zone where you can like ask some honest questions, and we'll try and talk it through and see if we can come to an understanding together. So that's more what this is about. If you have any, like, I'd be really curious to hear other people's thoughts. I've shared the story before, but one of my favorite professors in college at BYU Hawaii, his name's Jim Tuller. He was talking to me one time about some pottery shards that are 35,000 years old, blah, blah, blah. And I said, how does this work? Like, you as a bishop or in a bishopric, whatever he was at the time, you have a testimony of the church. And then we have this stuff, which we also know to be true, scientific fact. And he says, you know, I've got to trust my testimony on both of them. I have a testimony of this scientific stuff going on, and I have a testimony of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know both of those are true. And right now, I don't understand exactly how they fit together, but I know them both to be true. And I'll just wait till I have a better understanding before I make anything else happen, right? Like before I make any other calls. And I thought that was so wise to just be able, you know, to be able to say, I know this is true and I know that's true. And I don't see them as contradicting. I just see them as me not exactly being able to understand how they coincide yet.
And I totally agree with that. I mean, that's what makes the most sense. You can't base your entire testimony on making sure that you understand the scientific basis, the factual basis behind everything in the scriptures. You know, and I remember we were surprised when there was a poll sometime last year, probably, when the Mormon moment was in full swing.
Oh, back when we had a moment.
Or it might have been even a couple of years ago to learn how it was a Gallup poll, so it was legit. but how many members of the church did not view the Book of Mormon as a literal record, which I thought was very interesting because we tend to take it at face value that it is. But many who regard themselves as devout, you know, tithe-paying, temple-going members thought a lot more the Book of Mormon was allegorical and symbolic in nature and not a literal record, which I thought was a fascinating thing because it's not something we think about very often.
Yeah.
And one's opinion is one's opinion on that. I mean, I'm more along the lines that, of course, it's a factual record. But is there symbolism in there? Are there, you know, metaphors and things like that at the same time? Yeah, probably. I mean, of course, stuff gets tweaked and is different. But
I mean, I was talking to a girlfriend about this last week, right? She was like, "Joan and the Whale, seriously?" And I was like, you know, if I got to heaven and God was like, "Dude, I teach in parables all the time. Did you get the lesson out of this?" And I'd be like, "Oh yeah, yeah, I get it." Or if I got to heaven and he said, "I'm God, I can create a fish. Look at this cool fish I made that did this." I'd be like, "Oh yeah, that's cool, sweet."
Well, actually, I'm convinced that Jonah and the whale completely happened. In watching a lot of Shark Week this week, I've learned a lot about Megalodon, and I'm certain that Megalodon actually ate Jonah.
That was our boy.
I have no doubt. I've seen more Megalodon footage over the past 2 days than I ever thought could be made.
Is that how you say it? Megalodon?
Megalodon.
Oh, that's exciting.
Megalodon. I do not know. Who is to say? I do not know. Well, neat. Folks, so please bear that in mind, though, as you listen to the show. If you listen to this and think that we're trying to toe some apostate line and tear down the church, we encourage you to repent.
Yeah.
But
the sin is on you.
But we do apologize if you feel that we do cross the line. But that's like Al said it perfectly. Our purpose on the show is we are devout members of the church who very much believe in its mission. But why not create a safe place where we can talk about these things and not have it be a
safe zone.
And not have it be safe a faith reducing experience where we can actually try to build upon perhaps complex or even controversial ideas, but not let that tear us down. I think that's a great thing that we can strive for.
I can dig it.
Hey, so Al, you found this one, but I'm going to hit it. Hilarious post about absurd moments in Mormon art. Part 1, the fashion of antichrists. I love this whole post. It fills me with joy.
Thank you.
Fills me with joy, and I want to see other parts of it. It's actually written by an LDS guy. It's not like someone who's trying to smack stuff around, but let's face it, it's hilarious, because if you look at a lot of the depictions in some of the older church publications, and I've seen a lot of this in the primary manuals, when they crack me up how awful they are. So let's talk about the way they depict Antichrist. Now you've looked over this as well. Let's start with Nehor. What is he wearing in this picture? I mean,
I feel like this is bad for radio. This is bad for radio, but
That's true.
Yeah.
I mean,
hilarious.
He's wearing this like winged hat thing. And of course the good guys pretty much look like Joseph.
We just need caption contests for all of these great pictures from the old illustrated versions of the Book of Mormon and stuff.
Well, easily the best one of Nehor that I find here looks like a club owner in South Beach. He's got this goatee and some sort of leopard print shirt and what I can only assume is a green sports coat. Awful.
Man knows what he's doing. Ladies love that.
But, some of these are really funny. Share them. High five, Brother Jake.
We'll put up some good
ones. Yeah, it's funnier to look at, but I can back this up. If you watch, they've made a lot of the primary videos. They put these from those old primary, not comic books, but drawings, you know, to explain lessons from the scriptures. And they've taken these and kind of made them moving animations based on the same drawings to explain stories. And some of the characters in this, like we just did Ammon recently, Ammon who cut off arms and, you know, converted Noah. And my whole life I pictured Ammon of more of the Richie Rich, Living Scriptures type of Ammon, guy with a beard, kind of a, you know, a burly, bad A, crazy guy. You know, he's Ammon. He's Ammon, he doesn't mess around. The guy they show looks like the whitest honky in the world. Just straight out of Utah County. He's just got like...
Can you say that, white honky?
I feel like I can say that because my grandmother's Mexican.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that makes it okay. But the point is, then this is where these things come from. They're awesome. I hope that when they revise curriculum, they also make new drawings that don't make everyone look like they came out of a high school production of, or better yet, the actual movie of the Book of Mormon that came out, you know, 6 or 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the same style.
Well, I liked it too.
Good job,
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Let's see. We got a couple others. We're going to try and finish up here, Jeff.
We have many others.
The couple articles, we can either do porn or entrepreneur. I'm going entrepreneurs.
Hit it.
I'm going entrepreneurs.
Do it.
An article in Pando Daily, which if you don't read, you should if you're a nerd. It talks about why Mormons are... some of the best, why there are so many Mormon entrepreneurs. I think it's a two-edged sword here, being an entrepreneur from Mormon heritage. I feel like there's a drive in the Mormon church to be industrious. You know, that's the pioneer heritage, so to speak. We have a chip on our shoulder to sort of, growing up where I grew up in the Midwest, it was often sold to me that I needed to live beyond reproach, right? Mm-hmm. Like we had to keep our yard picked up because if we didn't, it wasn't, Al is a dirty guy or he has a dirty yard. It's the Mormons, right? And I'm dealing with that more and more. Even as I get older, I'm still dealing with that, out in my hometown. And it's so tough to like, everything you do is not you doing it. It's Mormons. And so you really do have a chip on your shoulder as you go out. And I feel like people from Utah have a similar thing. If you've had the joy of traveling with somebody from Utah as they go out to like, oh, I don't know, anywhere else. And somebody asks where they're from. It's a very sheepish, almost embarrassed. I'm from Utah.
Right.
Or if you talk to anybody in Utah that's from Utah, it's the same thing. Where are you from? Oh, just Farmington, Bountiful, you know. So anyway, there's a lot of Mormon entrepreneurs out there trying to make it, probably more than should be.
Yeah.
As we see from a lot of the failures, but they say some of the stuff that's attributed to it is just we are industrious, hardworking. We have that sort of vibe going on, and we take it very seriously. I mean, we are raised from a young age to try and figure out how to make things go. I mean, right into Scouts, right into selling lemonade. I feel like per capita, there's probably more like Mormon families because the stay-at-home mom and the family focus and all that. I feel like entrepreneurial lessons are taught early on, kind of across the bar. So. Anyway, cool article. Cool to be recognized for some of that.
All right. It's porn time. You ready for this one?
Take it to me,
Jeff. This one's quick. City Weekly, Salt Lake City, of course, alleges that a porn website, which we're not going to name because we don't want you to go look for it, people, but they say...
Yeah, don't look for porn on the internet.
They say it is...
We'll keep it hidden.
They say that the church has been attacking their servers. They traced the server attacks to the zip code 84150. 84150 is just Temple Square... And then also the square where the church buildings are, office and administration, and the lot where the conference center is. Nothing but church-owned property is 84150. And however they tracked it, they said the repeated attacks on their servers came from within that zip code. Does this mean that they are sitting there ordering attacks?
Man, I really hope it does. I really hope it does. I hope that the church... So they mentioned the name of the church in their porn website, right? That's why this was interesting. And I genuinely hope that the church is just running a little cyber attack against these guys. I think that would be great. Just clean an house. We have our porn hacking team inside. We'll call them the Danites, the modern day Danites, or
cyber
God's angels,
cyber porn terrorists.
I love it. I hope that it's real. I hope it's going on.
Oh, it's exciting. Other quick news, many of you are familiar with the Santa Monica LA First Wards out in the Los Angeles area. Do a film festival. We'll just post the video. They did a video called Elders Will Be Sisters. LDS Living even picked up on it, so it's serious.
LDS Living did?
Yeah, it's real. Now it's at the highest echelons of journalistic integrity. But it's just a simple little video that shows Elders Quorum as if the elders acted like Relief Society and the sisters acting like elders. So it's kind of funny, though it seems that the elders trying to act like women, they just act gay, which I don't think is the same thing as being a woman.
Yeah.
So they just maybe act very, very gay. Very, very gay. Like far too naturally gay. It makes me wonder if many of these young men are struggling with same gender attraction.
Elder. Wait, go ahead. Were you still on a diet?
I was going to pull a U, Al. I was going to engage in libel. But I decided.
Keep going.
As I say, I have it on good authority that most of the men in that video are closet homosexuals.
Is that a bad thing?
I don't care.
It sounds like you do care.
I honestly don't care if they are or they're not. Continue.
Let's see. Before we leave the porn thing.
Oh, I thought we were done with porn. Ah, yes. No, you're right.
Brother Matthew Piper. There's some Sunstone... what is it? The Sunstone Symposium, where it's just like an open thought type thing. Okay, there were some speakers that did a a thing on the label Porn Addict can be harmful. And this is, again, interesting because this has come up a couple of times as in just general conversation over the last 2 weeks of whether or not we're helping or hurting by how we are addressing porn. The other conversations that I've had around it are around the, how we just shun pornography and anything around it to the point where if somebody has a problem with it, they feel so awkward trying to bring it up. That most of the time they don't, and then they end up with this weird, like, secret life that they're in hiding and ashamed and all that and feel like they are alone and can't come find help because of how we handle it, right? So reading this was actually interesting, because as we try and identify, I guess, the addiction so that we can help it, one of the first things you do is label it. And this is arguing that maybe that is a bad thing. If this is at all interesting to you, you should go read it.
You should.
We won't spend
too
much time on it.
Because the DSMV does not actually have a diagnosis of pornography addiction. It doesn't exist.
Do they have a diagnosis of sex addiction?
I'm not sure. I don't know about that.
Tiger Woods so famously is addicted?
Well, who wouldn't be? I mean, if you're Tiger Woods. Come on. Though it is an interesting point because, like you said, people who view porn feel sullied, they feel dirty, but it becomes a cycle. They feel guilt, and then to relieve stress, they wind up engaging in porn and, you know, pleasuring themselves or what have you, and then feel guilty about that, and the cycle continues. And so I guess there is a difference when we talk about porn destroying us, it's bad, or saying, hey guys, let's find a way to live a healthy life. I guess just putting that positive spin on it, they're arguing, could make all the difference. And I don't know how I honestly feel about that approach. I'd love to hear from our listeners. Like, is that what we need to do? Treat people, just say,
you decide.
Well, to say you,
tonight at night.
You are a sexual creature. That doesn't mean you indulge in those sexual desires. But here, let's find a way to find that balance and make life work. And
it's a cultural thing, right? Or a societal thing. For us within the church, there really is no right way to handle that, because you don't want to make it seem like it's okay.
Exactly.
It's not.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's tough.
Another.
Glad I'm not a bishop.
Okay.
That's all I'm saying.
Another story. You're going to love someone. It's going to shock you all.
Mormons?
A poll by Gallup has revealed that Mormons are less likely to be smokers than adherents of any other faith.
Huh. Well, yeah.
Can you believe it?
File that under obvious, and on we go.
Yep.
Let's see, last one. We did, man. We had another missionary has died while serving a mission.
Yeah, it's just...
Cardiac arrest? Ooh.
I know.
Well, that stinks. He was in Wyoming. It was, Elder...
Milo Bennett.
Milo Bennett. Of Window Rock, Arizona. Dude, I am convinced that this is happening at an increasing rate.
Oh, yeah, me too.
I'm just saying, if you want to live, don't go on a mission.
Yes, no.
Man, that just stinks. That's awful.
It does stink.
But sorry about ending on a note like that, but,
We can end on a happy note. Joseph Smith Sr.'s descendants all gathered at This Is the Place Monument Park. To all hang out and celebrate their heritage. That's positive, right?
Does he have any that are members of the church?
I assume so.
I don't know. I don't think there's many, from what I understand. Most of them didn't.
Well, Joseph Smith Sr., but then Hiram Smith's widow, who was not even the mother of his children, stuck with the church and followed Brigham Young. So most of Hiram's line stuck it out.
Atta girl.
So... I mean, that's why we have, I believe, Joseph F. Smith was Hiram's son, wasn't he? The prophet.
That's why I have it.
So there we go.
All right, man. Jeff, what an absolute pleasure to chat with you today.
And a pleasure to speak with you. And folks, if you want to speak with us, send us an email, contact@thisweekinmormons.com, and please go to our website, thisweekinmormons.com. Visit us.
Yeah, go there and leave a comment. Also, facebook.com/thisweekinmormons. Twitter.com/TheRealTwim. We are waiting for you there.
We are. And we want to encourage you once again, sign up for our gospel study sort of class that we're going to start doing. That's on the website, thisweekinmormons.com. And we encourage you to look out for Sunday School Bonanza as well, our much more serious-faced gospel doctrine review podcast to get you ready for Sunday School.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right, Al, I'll see you on, Saturday.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later, Jeff.
When I give you back your car. All right. Sounds good. Pardon. All right, dude. Thanks. Thanks for listening to TWIM, folks. We hope you have a great week, and we will talk to you soon. Bye-bye.